Good morning. You ready to go this morning? Ready to listen to God's word? Oh, that's so lame. Come on. This is like God's word. Ready? I was hanging out with family yesterday, and I was reminded of my sophomore year of college. I went to Maryland, which was where leadership training was at the time. And I shared a couple weeks ago how my job there was to weed whack for 8 hours a day in a city. I wandered around weed whacking. Well, what I discovered during that time was that I have an intense allergy to poison ivy. Let me just say that weed whacking is not really a good job for someone with that. Because over time, it began to spread for a couple weeks till it was pretty much covering my whole body. In fact, I think my arms were raised about a quarter of an inch. It kind of starts to ooze and all that stuff. It was bad. It was bad. So here I am, first time away from home. I'm surrounded by a bunch of other guys who are my age, and I'm looking for some relief. And I hear from one of my buddies, they said, oh, just pour bleach on it. I said, all right. So for 2 weeks, I showered in bleach and wrapped myself in Ace bandage, went off to work. Amazing. Luckily, 2 weeks later, I had to fly home to go to my sister's high school graduation, and I walked off the plane. My mom greeted me, and I about freaked her out because I was all wrapped up and like that. We immediately went to the doctor, where he handed me a very amazing pill called prednisone, which knocked it out in like a week. It was amazing. And I was sitting on the couch right after that. My mom reminds me, and I was just lying there, And she remembers saying, Rick, you okay? I said, I knew if I just got to a mom, I'd be all right. Right? If at one point in time there was someone with their child and they saw me as a young man trying to make my way and they looked at me, they would have pointed at me and said, do not do what he's doing. Okay? Do not follow his example. All right? We're in this whole series on the kings and in various kings. And what we're looking at, the series is ruled by fear. Some of those kings, you look at them, do not do what they were doing, right? We look at them and we say, this was not the right way, okay? And really, we're looking at them and we're looking at how what they feared impacted the way they ruled, right? What they feared impacted the way they ruled. This morning, we get to look at Ahaz, okay? Ahaz was a king of Judah. And if you want to, we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. You can flip there and go through it. But the question here for all of us this morning is, how do you respond in times of distress? What you fear does impact that. How do you respond in times of distress or adversity? And Ahaz was one of those kings you look at and basically say, do not do what he was doing. Sound good? So we're going to learn from the counterexample this morning. You ready? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. It is a privilege to come and worship you. It is a privilege to come and see you. It is a privilege to be together. It's important that we're here, that we worship you. So many things push in around us. So many challenges, and yet to come here and worship you reminds us that you're with us, that you know us, that you've saved us, and that you will deliver us, and we will be with you one day and see you face to face. It is just good to be here. So, Lord, even as we wait for that day to be with you, God, help us to continue to walk in the abundant life you've given us, particularly in times when we're faced with distress or adversity. God, let us learn from your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You ready? Here we go. King Ahaz, just to give you a little background, because, you know, this was about, he became king in about 736 BC. All right? That was a little while ago. Okay? Just a little while ago. At that time, the kingdom of Israel was broken into two. You had the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was Judah. It was divided. And you had the Assyrian Empire that was beginning, which was north and over east a little bit. And that was probably the first real superpower in the world, okay, that developed. So you have, and Ahaz was king of Judah. And in Judah, there were a few good kings. In Israel, there were no good kings in its history. Okay, so we're here with Ahaz. And what we have in this time is we have the king of Israel. His name was Pekah. And then the king of Syria, which was name was Rezin, they had united to confront Judah, and they were coming to attack the kingdom of Judah. And so he had to deal with this. That was his issue. Now, what it says in a little bit toward the end of the chapter on him, it says this about Ahaz. It says, in the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord. It was to his ruin and the ruin of Israel. Not the greatest, you know, legacy, right? And so what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look through his story and see what were some of the underpinnings of why was that? What were some reasons maybe that came about in his life so that we might not follow with him? Now, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, was a contemporary of Ahaz, and he came to speak to him too. So we'll look at some chapters there. All right. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1. This is what it says. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord and his father David had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images of the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he burned his sons as an offering, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. This was not a good guy, right? What does it say? He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he continued the practices of the nations the Lord drove out to give them the promised land, which was sacrificing his sons. It's crazy. This was not a good guy. And he did, in one of the things that it says is that David called Solomon. He said he charged him with the kings. In Leviticus, it charges the kings, you're to walk in the ways of God. You're to follow his commands. Ever before, you're to be an example to the nation of what you're to be. The nation of Israel was to call people back to him, back to the Lord. That was the purpose of the king. And the issue with Ahaz is he had rejected the Lord's calling. He had rejected the Lord's calling on his life. He was to be an example to rule his nation so that others might find the Lord. He rejected it. 2 Chronicles 28 says this, therefore the Lord his God gave him into the hand of the king of Syria, who defeated him and took captive a great number of his people and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who struck him with great force. The Lord brings distress in his life because he rejected him, right? He was faced with distress. Now, there are times in our lives that we're forced with distress because of what we've done, because we've walked away from what God's called us to do. And that comes. Not all our distress is because of that. But there are times because we walk away what God has called us. Job struggled with a certain distress. It was not because he was unrighteous. It was because he was. How bizarre is that? Figure that one out, right? There are times we face distress. And how we respond makes a big difference. How clearly you hold to your calling in those times makes a big difference as to how you approach your times of challenge, your times of distress. Ahaz rejected it, his calling. Ahaz was who? He was king of Israel. He was the king of Israel. Who are you? Who are you? If you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus says you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. He says you are the salt of the earth. That is who you are. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know what's going on. If you are a follower of Christ, you are the light of the world, salt of the earth. Peter says that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is who you are. That is your calling. And there are times that we don't remember, we don't hold fast to our calling in those times of distress. And it makes all the difference in the world. Many of us have goals, right? In those times of distress, we have goals. Some of it's, I just want to get out of here, right? We have goals when we struggle, I want to get through this. There are goals we have in life. And sometimes we can subtly be like Ahaz and let go of our calling. Because our first and primary calling is what? To bring glory to God, correct? It is to bring glory to God. Ahaz rejected God. He had no interest in bringing glory to God. And for us as people of Christ, we're called to bring glory to God no matter what we go through. And if we don't hang on to that, we can go off in our times of distress. What are some of the goals you have, right? Financial security, that's a good goal, right? It's good to have financial security. How about to run a successful business? Is that a good goal? It's a great goal. How about graduating with honors? How about graduating? It's a good goal, right? How about finding a spouse? It's a good goal. Reconciling relationship, it's a good goal. They're great. We have all different kinds of goals. But listen, if those become what we're about, and we do not add this part to that goal, I wish to glorify God by X, we subtly step away from our calling. I wish to glorify God by running a successful business. I wish to glorify God by graduating. I wish to glorify God by finding a spouse. If we do not hang on to that, we can subtly be pulled in different directions. Ahaz rejected what God called him to, and so it set him down a path in his distress to grab onto other things. We can do the same. We need to hold on to who we are. In times of distress, we have to hold fast to our calling. Ahaz rejected his. Let's continue. We're going to look to Isaiah chapter 7. See, in Isaiah chapter 7, God speaks to Isaiah, and he says, go to Ahaz in this same time. So he's telling him to go. This is what he tells him. Isaiah 7 says this, and the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jizim, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. I don't know where that is. I don't know why it's important, but it's in there. And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord, and then he goes on. What's happening here? He sends Isaiah to go to Ahaz and to say, listen, do not be afraid of these two smoldering stumps. That's what he calls the kings of Israel and the kings of Syria, two smoldering stumps. Do you think that's what Ahaz saw? No, he saw two great armies. God saw two smoldering stumps. He saw two great armies. And God said, do not be afraid. How we see things makes a big difference, right, in our times. This is what Isaiah says, continues. This is the word to him. It says, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. That is a challenging word, is it not? And that's what he's saying to Ahaz. He's basically saying, do not be afraid of these smoldering stumps. They're burning. They will not last. But you not be afraid because they're going away. You need to be firm in faith, and then you'll be firm in other things. I love this thing. If we do not grow in faith, if we do not stand firm in faith, if we do not embrace the way of faith. He rejected the way of faith. If we do not trust what God says and see what he sees, which is two smoldering stumps as opposed to two great armies. In our times of distress, what do we see? What do we see? Do we see what God says we should see, or do we see two great armies? I love that. Listen, when I was young, I got a chemical engineering degree. Look at what I'm doing now. And the reason I did that was because I felt like the Lord called me to go into this, so I went. That took a lot. I'm looking back and going, man, that was crazy. It took some faith, but I was like, this is what the Lord's calling me to do. I'm just going to do it. When I got a little older, it got harder to walk by faith. It's hard to walk by faith, isn't it? It's hard to trust what God said. I began to know a little bit too much, right? There was a time we came to get, when my family, we felt like God was calling us to move. And I began to look at all the reasons why I should not move. And I could count them out, and I just, you know, let's just stay here. This would be too hard. It is hard to walk by faith, is it not? But if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. God is calling us in difficult times to be firm in faith, and he will make us strong in other ways. That's what Ahaz was not. In fact, he responded, Isaiah 7 said this, and the Lord spoke to Ahaz and said, ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Could you imagine this? God comes to you through a prophet and says, ask a sign. Ask, it can be as high as heaven or as deep as hell. And you say, no, thank you. I'm not going to ask. That's what he said. How crazy is that? But I look at this and do you not feel the disappointment? In the sense that God was coming to Ahaz, who had rejected him, and said, listen, these armies are coming. You have an opportunity. Do what, give me a sign. I will show you. I'll be with you. I will show you. Yet, he says, no, thank you. And he misses out on seeing what God would do. He misses out. He misses out on maybe God would move and he would stand firm and he could see what God would do through this world, through his kingdom in Judah, and he could see the glory of God, and yet he said, no, thank you. You ever been there? We go there, don't we? I've been there. I remember sitting, and I've shared this before, but I remember sitting at a retreat. And I remember getting some time with the Lord, and I remember just, there was a time I was reading a book, something like that. It had to do, I was dealing with stuff with my dad and my past, and I remember the Lord just kind of moving me, you need to go speak to your father and tell him how much he means to you. That's kind of a strange thing for the Lord to, I mean, I guess it's not strange, it's probably appropriate, right? And I remember sitting there, and I thought, I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to cry. And I'm pretty sure if I were to do that, I would cry and I'd be awkward and I don't want that. And I said, no, thank you. A couple years later, my dad passed. I never had the opportunity to say that. Now, he's with the Lord. We'll be reconciled one day. It'll be great. But I missed out. I think I missed out on what the Lord could have done. How he could have glorified himself in this moment. And that's sad, is it not? And yet the Lord gives us more opportunities, right? If you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. In our times of distress, we need to hear God's voice. We can and take a step. Sarah did it, did she not? She got up here and she shared what she did to help some. That was a freaky thing to do. She stepped out in faith because God asked her to do it. And she got to see what the Lord would do through her. Isn't that beautiful? Ahaz rejected the way of faith. In our distress, we need to stand firm and anticipate what could God do? What could God do through us? It's a beautiful thing. All right, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 28. In the time of his distress, he became even more faithless to the Lord. this same King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus that he had defeated him and said, because of the gods of the kings of Syria, help them, I will sacrifice to them and they may help me. That seems great. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in the pieces of the vessels of the house of God. And he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem, in every city of Judah. He made high places to make offerings to other gods, provoking the anger of the Lord, the God of his fathers. So after the Lord comes to him and says, yeah, I'll give you a sign, do whatever. Instead, he decides, you know what? It seems like these other gods are helping these other kingdoms. I think I'm going to go to them. Don't we do that? It's so easy to embrace and turn to the way the world does things, is it not? We look around us. And though we're not surrounded by armies, and we're not surrounded by physical things that might conquer us, we are surrounded with ideas and ways that wish to tear down the kingdom of God. And how easy it is for us in our distress to turn to the ways of the world, to the ways of power, of pride, of manipulation, to the ways of pleasure, to distract ourselves. We trust the world's strength, do we not, at times? And instead, God calls us to humility, to love, to trust in him, to having kindness and compassion. And the more we embrace the way the world sees things and does things, the more we become like it. And the more we embrace and trust God, and we embrace faith, the more we reflect who he is, and the more we experience the rescue that he has given us through this world, that he rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And so in our time of distress, God is calling us not to turn to the dominion of darkness, to the idols of this world, but to turn to him and trust him in the ways of faith. Hebrews 11 says this, And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? I would say sons and daughters. My son or daughter, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. For the moment of all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That is a mouthful. And yet, it's pretty simple, right? The beauty of the gospel, every person is made in the image of God. Every person reflects God's image and therefore is worthy of honor and dignity. But it is only those who have placed their faith in Christ who are sons and daughters of God. It says that if when you receive him, you receive the right to become children of God. And through the gospel, you become a child of God. And what that means is he becomes personally responsible to care and guide and train you as a good father should. And so in those moments of trial, we can forget at times that God is with us, that he is for us, and that he will use it. See, every trial is not the discipline of the Lord. Every trial isn't even like a training ground where he says, I'm going to make you learn something. There are some trials that are that, and there are some trials that are discipline of the Lord. But every trial, every difficulty is refining if you know Jesus. Every trial is redeemed because he can use it to help you become more like him as you turn to him and turn away from the things of the world. It's a beautiful thing. So I want to conclude with a couple questions. I want to ask you as you sit here in this place, what distress do you face right now? What's your challenge? in life? What weighs your heart down right now? And as you consider that, let me ask you this. Do you remember that you are God's light, that you are God's salt, that you are his priest? Do you remember your calling in the midst of it? And are you committed? Have you committed yourself to glorifying God through it as you walk through it? Committed to glorifying him no matter what? Let me ask you, where is God asking you to stand firm in faith? To stand firm in faith. As you stand firm in faith in your difficulty, it will help you stand firm in other things. That's what he said to Ahaz. And have you embraced the refining power of your trial and difficulty? Have you embraced the refining power of it? As people of faith, we know we're not alone. We walk with the Lord. He walks through us, and he will walk us through these things. And we will see how God will glorify himself through us and through difficulty. Let's be a people who looks to see what God is doing, not run and bury our head in the sand like Ahaz did, and who became kind of, he didn't even get to be buried among the other kings. They buried him somewhere else. Let's be people who embrace faith in the midst of craziness. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, and we thank you for Ahaz's example that we are not going to follow. God, it is our desire that in the midst of this world, when we are faced with difficult things, God, we want to turn to you and not the world's ways. God, we want to turn to you and trust you. God, when you call us to do certain things, we want to hear your voice, we want to step into it. That's what our desire is, God. And so this morning, whatever's weighing down folks here, I just pray, I pray you lift them up. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.